Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, a local holiday here. It's Comal County Fair Parade Day, and you are listening to The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And like I said, a long, long walk, but a short flight from here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic, they're up to Charleston, South Carolina. He has got so many letters after his name that his business card is actually a 3x5 card. His name is Dr. Troy Hall. Hey, Dr. Troy.
Hey, how you doing, Jason? Thanks for
it
is
for that.
Really, hey. Yeah, you're so nice to me. Thank you. I'm here at the College of Charleston. We just did an MBA Executive Forum series talking a little bit about leadership. And, boy, is that so appropriate for our conversation today.
Is it ever? But first, I have to admonish the studio audience. I tell them, you don't clap for the co-host, but you've been gone for a few weeks. And They say I'm mean when you're not here. They say I'm not nice to them. I know you can't believe that.
I can't possibly believe that. No, that's never happened to me.
Hey, folks, the name of the show today, Now What? The Power Performance brought to you in part by XDI.com, X-Ray Delta India.com, Express Data Incorporated, sending out statements both in paper and electronic form. Folks, just go to the website. It's right there. In the episode page, they're taking care of credit unions all over the country. And we're talking about credit unions today because there are tremendous historical things happening that could directly impact the credit union marketplace if credit unions are smart enough to take advantage of them. One of America's oldest banking brands has proven to be dishonest and possibly criminal. CEO John Stumpf out. He was the head of Northwest Texas when I was working for Northwest Texas down in San Antonio back in the late 90s. I know him. I have met him. Not a bad guy, but is now attached to, I would say, pretty bad brand. If credit unions can't leverage this, folks, I don't know what they can leverage. When we get back from the break, we're going to ask Dr. Troy. The new Wells Fargo CEO, the new C-suite over at Wells Fargo, calls him in to say, hey, how do we get this back on track? How do we fix this? We're going to ask Dr. Troy what he would tell him, and we'll do it all right after this. Right. Hey, Dr. Troy, let's say I was the administrative assistant responsible for contacting a person to come in and speak to the new Wells Fargo C-suite, new because they're going to have a new CEO. They may already have one. I just saw that Mr. Stumpf had resigned. They have been at the center of another pretty public, pretty bad scandal for the big banks. If you were called into their strategic planning session, what would you tell them they have to do now? What now?
Well, the first thing I'd tell them is let's create some contextual understanding as to what has happened here and make sure that everyone clearly understood that this was a leadership issue, not an employee issue. This was not a bunch of employees who have gone rogue against a culture or against an institution that may have espoused particular values of honesty or teamwork or professionalism. This was definitely a situation in which the leaders not only took their eye off the ball, but may have been contributed to passing the ball. And I say may have because I don't have any data that tells me that they did. But what I can tell you is that I can sort of infer or I could sort of look at the evidence and make an assumption or make a claim against it that that would have happened. Because with what I know of leadership in the over 40 years that I've been involved in that process, is I clearly understand that things don't just happen by accident on a magnitude basis unless it's a one-time glitch. This is a situation that occurred over a several-year period of time, and there are reports indicating that management may have looked the other way to continue to achieve something that they thought was good or right for the organization. So I first of all would have to make sure that people understood that. The second thing I would do is I would make sure that they understood that whatever strategic direction they take, they had to make sure that they clearly were doing it with an understanding of why people are going to reject the Wells Fargo brand. There will be one of three reasons they will reject it. They will reject it because they misunderstood, or they needed clarification, or they were skeptical. In this particular situation, folks do not need someone telling them information about why it won't happen again. When individuals are skeptical, 80% of the reason people reject or object to something or have fear to something comes into the category of skepticism. And the only way to solve skepticism is through proof. So I would tell that particular group, this is going to be a long, long day. Because the trust that you may build up over centuries can be wiped away in just an instant. And that's why it is so important for leadership to really understand its connection to the business world. I want to call your attention to Mark Miller's book, The Heart of Leadership. And in that book, he has a very specific analogy that he draws to an iceberg. And he asks and he says, what portion of the iceberg do you see? And most people are very astute and able to respond that they see 10%. That's the part that's above the water. But what they don't see is the area that's below the water. And if you look at that, where I've now taken that analogy to my level is to say that top 10% is only skills. Those are the skills that the leader acquires in order to have good communication, good writing, good acumen in financial management. Those are the skills. But the real issue of leadership is the character. It's the 90% that's below. And I want to just stop for a second and just make sure that we get that, that it is the 90% that's below the water that you don't necessarily see, but you can feel through the impact that the leader has in the relationship with the others that are working with and around the leader. And also understand, how is an iceberg formed? You know, an iceberg is formed from the ground up. It's not formed from the top down. So when you see that 10%, that's what you've seen that rises above the water, which means that you really have had your character as a leader well established, and now those skills are what people are actually seeing. And it's very important that individuals do not get misconstrued with a good leader who possesses skills but has crappy character. And so I would ask them to do an evaluation of their entire management team. And if they could not clearly define that the individual, and maybe it's as simple as taking a re-oath and says, and look them in the eye and says, I pledge whatever the components of the pledge needs to be in order to establish character for the organization, and that they establish that, they need to reset and to do that. And then they need to stop trying to craft or spin it from a marketing perspective and just do it, and to recognize that it is going to take time. And the other thing I would tell them is this. You know the old adage that says that even negative things about your brand are still bringing attention to your brand? This is not the type of attention that I would be calling for.
And I was just going to ask you about that. You know, had this been a data breach, had this been, you know, the Wells Fargo banking, internet banking system and mobile app system went down for 2 hours on a Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, people would be like, well, that happens. It's happened to my credit union. It's happened to my community bank. It happens to everybody. Not a big deal. This is just what you said. I've already got two quote keepers down. It was a failure of leadership, not of employees. And the other one, I'd had to write down 8-minute mark because I call in early. I couldn't do the math. So I have to go back and find the second quote keeper. It's in the 8-minute mark. of the show. But you're absolutely right. This is not a technical glitch. This is a cultural failure of one of America's oldest banking brands. Once again, credit unions have the chance to say to their membership and potential members, look, you never hear this about us. You've never heard this about Navy Federal Credit Union. You never heard this about USAA, which isn't even a credit union, but they use some of the same context, become a member for life, this kind of thing. I don't recall anything from South Carolina Federal on this level. I'm still in shock that they were able to do this for so long. I worked at a bank that sold its brand to Wells Fargo in large part because of our sales culture. And I was at the top of that sales ladder because I was a good salesperson, but I was not dishonest. This has been dishonest. This is clearly criminal. And like I said, if credit unions can't leverage this, they can't leverage anything. Bank Transfer Day proves it. You want empirical data? You want to go back and look at examples? I'll give you one. Bank Transfer Day, 5 years ago, didn't move the needle one bit. You had some great ideas. You contacted some of the biggest names in the credit union marketplace and said, hey, let's turn this to our advantage. Let's have the Got Milk, the Incredible Edible Egg. Let's have a national branding campaign right now because everyone is focused on the difference between these big banks and maybe a smaller community-based credit union, and it didn't happen. In your opinion, go ahead.
Well, what I want to say is this. I think that I want to spend more time on that leveraging conversation, but I think that is a follow-up show because today the emphasis is to let's focus. I want to still focus on leadership because there's still some more aspects to discuss. And what I wanted to say clearly is this. There is failure of leadership in all organizations. The credit unions have failure of leadership. The CU Times, the Credit Union Journal, they report information when an individual, I want to just now stop for a second, when an individual handles or gives something, this is a group of individuals in the Wells Fargo scenario from the initial reports and the data, given permission or giving inclination that it should be more widespread. So it wasn't just an individual act. If you have collusion where you've got one or more individuals involved, it is after a singular, act or a singular piece. And so you have those types of issues. So I want to make sure people understand. We're not saying that the credit unions are perfect when it comes to leadership. But what I will say is this. The character of the leaders are not going to do something to impact the membership as a whole. So the leadership is dedicated to the construct that we operate in a credit union because we believe that working together with people, we can achieve more than we can do it by ourselves. And that is the credit union. That's one of the aspects of the credit union difference. And I will say this. I don't necessarily think that this will also move the meter on whether individuals will come to the credit union or not because there is another variable in the United States today that's called complacency. And there is that unfortunately gets wrapped up into people's lives. There's also the busyness of people's lives and the fact that they also take this approach, well, that didn't happen to me, that was somebody else. Where we might see the difference is in those individuals who were actually impacted by those accounts. Those are the individuals who then should be saying, look, that area of trust has been broken. I need to move to another institution where that trust can be reestablished and maintained and brought together again. So that is the message. That is the direction. And because I will tell you now, it would, in my mind as a leadership, we would not put together a campaign that would go against this horrible, heinous situation that occurred for individuals because first of all, we do not profit from somebody else's failure or poor choices. We have to stand on our own, and that's why the branding conversation has to be a different one, and I've got some great thoughts on this, on possibly national branding and some other really interesting things that talk about social media, and I want to devote an exact show just to that.
Well, and we can. That's the beautiful thing about this show. The name of the show, The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? We're asking lots of questions today. The other question is, now what? And we will do, we have to do that show. We've got to do a show that talks about the right way to do this. And I totally get what you're saying about complacency. I thought to myself, I had an account at Wells Fargo back in the late 90s. You had to have an account if you worked at the bank. That was, you know, if you're stealing money from the bank, they're going to find out about it because your checking account just went from $500 to $50,000. And so I had an account for a long time at Wells Fargo. And you're right. Had this happened back then, if it hadn't impacted me personally, it's like, oh man, what am I going to do at lunch today? It's Friday. Am I going to go get Subway or am I going to go close my account and move everything over with my whole direct deposit? You know, no mobile, no internet, but I can move my direct deposit over to a credit union and won't know if I get my paycheck next week. So you're absolutely right about that. But yes, we'll definitely do a follow-up show about how credit unions should respond to this. His name is Dr. Troy Hall. My name is Jason Dias. We're going to take one more quick break and we'll wrap it up right after this.
The Wells Fargo wagon! The Wells Fargo wagon! Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me.
Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street.
I wish I knew what it could be.
I got a box of maple sugar on my birthday.
In March I got a great mat
and once I got some grapefruit from Tampa.
Montgomery Ward sent me a Bassa band across.
Montgomery Ward, my first credit card, Montgomery Ward. I have no idea what a Mackinac is, but if that Wells Fargo wagon is coming down your street, it might have a credit card that you did not apply for or an account that you actually didn't open. Dr. Troy, one of the biggest mysteries to me is that when I log into my account every morning, and I do on my mobile banking app, it shows me all my accounts. If somebody added an account or a credit card or something, I would see it. And to your point, this was not one employee doing this. This was a systematic, culture-wide, bank-wide, national banking brand, talked about at conferences and employee training days. How do we keep this going? This was a collapse. This was a collapse of leadership. And, you know, you've got a PhD in global leadership. We're not talking about a one-week fix, are we? This is a cultural problem now for the brand that is Wells Fargo.
No, it's not a one-week fix. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of consistency, and it's going to take the opportunity to show the true character of the organization through the leadership and through the individuals, and they'll need to reestablish themselves. Almost like if you think about a political campaign, one handshake, one eye connection at a time. Whatever is the, however the consumer will relate to trust, whatever is the element, you know, if you think that they like you on your page and that is the trust element, or if you think they need to see you face-to-face or they need to interact with you on the phone or whatever that element is, they have to reestablish the trust, you know, one aspect at a time. Because the biggest question that lays in the background is, well, what if it's me the next time? That's what I think about that. What if it's me the next time? The other thing, too, that I will tell you, because the data isn't clear for me on this, so it's really hard to really make a clear assertion, but I'd have to suspect that an individual like you who checks into your accounts on a regular basis would
every
not
morning.
Have been the target. You wouldn't have been the target. So in other words, if you think about it, this is why I also believe it's leadership. And to have this be widespread, maybe an employee here or there might have figured out that they could target a particular group or class, and they might be
an
able
older
to do
group,
that.
Perhaps.
But or they could, or an unbanked group or a newly banked group who may have felt that there was an obligation to that organization for the privilege of having an account. And I don't know that. Again, I am putting forth some possible assumptions that need to be carved out in the research a little bit more. But you, but those kinds of things call to mind to me from, you know, from a leadership to be able to say, just in the years of experience I have, I look around and I go, there is no way that is just going to happen by one or two people casually figuring it out, or 5,200 people accidentally stumbling on to this in order to, in this case, meet goals and achieve some sort of organizational success that they thought was important and valuable. Because what it tells me is this, is that if individuals believe that they can get away with it, then the leadership must ask themselves, what culture have we created? Because the cultural understanding of the organization is the responsibility of the senior management group. So if you want to know who's responsible for your culture, the first thing is your culture has to speak the truth, has to be truthful about what those components and elements are, it has to have senior management support, and it has to be a culture that everybody lives, breathes, and owns. And so what we've also heard in this, and again, we may not have enough time to explore it completely because this is such a complex topic, is what is the new culture going to be now at Wells Fargo? Because this particular act may have created a culture that says, even if I speak up, I get fired. Or if I do wrong, I get fired. So is it going to create a culture in which people have fear to work, fear of repercussion? You know, what can happen in that area? And we don't even know yet. And I'm not even sure how to measure that exactly today. But those are some of those additional conversations that need to be had.
We're going to have them.
At Wells Fargo. So
we're going to have
him.
We're going to have him.
I got to run, my man, so I appreciate you.
He is joining. He was joining us live from the College of Charleston. Wells Fargo has not called him in yet to do a strategic planning, but the folks at College of Charleston were smart enough to bring Dr. Troy out to talk to them about global leadership. Hey, buddy, I'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks. See you, Jason.
All right. Hey, listen, folks. Credit unions, we are going to have that conversation, by the way, about how to leverage this, because if you don't, I mean, there's no other better opportunity. Okay. There are two big trade organizations out there representing credit unions in the marketplace. One, NAFQ, is all over this. They pointed out the regulatory burdens which already exist that will now be exacerbated by this, despite the operational differences of credit unions and banks. They're all lumped into the banking marketplace. And they've pointed out that it only makes the job of getting favorable regulatory relief, you know, it makes it harder. Our other large trade organization, the four-letter word from Madison, I have been monitoring their Twitter feed this entire show. And it's you can go look at it. You can go look at it and make your own opinion. But leadership, I'm seeing it from one trade, NAFQ, and I'll let you know when I see it from the other one. Because if they were all over this, I would say, hey, the discussion needs to be about whose message is better. Is NAFQ going about this the right way, or is the other brand going about it the right way? But it's not a race. You know, it's a guy jogging, not two people sprinting to see who gets to the finish line first. Right now, it's a one-brand show. And, folks, it's time to start asking some tough questions. When we have that show, there'll be no hiding it. Dr. Troy has every credential you want to see when somebody starts talking about credit union leadership. Every credential. If you know somebody that has more, send me their name. I'll let them host the show next week. But when we have that discussion about what we tried to do back during Bank Transfer Day to give us that national branding vibe, the gut milk, the incredible edible egg, we've got some empirical evidence to talk about too. But today is bank transfer day because every day is bank transfer day, especially when the banks are cheating again. And folks, credit unions can't take advantage of that. God help y'all. Failure of leadership, not of employees. Dr. Troy, that's our first quote keeper. I'll get that up on Twitter with the link to the show. My name is Jason Dias. You've been listening to The Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Wells Fargo will do millions of transactions today, but there is an opportunity here, and we're going to keep talking about it. Brought to you in part by XDI.com. Folks, click on the link. It's right there on the episode page. Very cool brand. Check out the Chili Challenge stuff. Check out the statement processing and their – just look at the list of credit unions that trust them with stuff they have to do. They have to send these statements out. They have to be accurate. They have to be timely. Over 60 million have been sent out only to members of credit unions. So they're good at it. Take a look at them. Hey, folks, until next we speak, my name is Jason Dias, signing off from the studio of eloquenceonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And we'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
And that's all, folks.